LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world. It's time for the midweek drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only, Phil Leoners.
It's very important that message gets across, isn't it, Hannah?
Yes, it is.
I always think so. Phil Leoners, how are you now? You're back in your PJs in LA, chilling out, listening to the show that, again, you referred to. Jim Broadbent, please. Yeah, Jim. But on the flip side, did actually sort of acknowledge that driving the show was a bit like manning all the stations of the Starship Enterprise at the same time, which brought me in mind of thinking, are we referring to James T. Kirk in the Mark of Gideon episode? In which case, obviously, it's not really Enterprise. It's just a mock-up that he's gone down to a planet to actually give of his blood to infect the population because they can't be dealing with birth control. Or alternatively, is it this side of paradise where, again, the spores have infected the crew? And again, he's left alone until he sort of realises that violent emotions can get rid of the spores' impact. Or was he actually referring to the Remember Me episode of Star Trek The Next Generation when Beverly Crusher was seeing the whole universe? In fact, I see myself more of a traveller from Tau Ceti. Are you there, Phil Leoners?
You are not going to distract me with Star Trek references today, my friend. Hannah, I need to ask you, have you ever seen Jim Broadbent and Alex Lefchook in the same place at the same time?
Well, no, I haven't. Now, that is a very good point.
And just because Alex plays an audio clip of allegedly Jim Broadbent.
You mean this one?
Hi, I'm Jim Broadbent. You're listening to Siren Radio, 107.3 FM.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I might mean that one. Alex is such a vocal master. Anyone who's listened to his rapping, for example, knows that there are many voices to Alex Lefchook. So I can't know that the one we hear on this show is the authentic Lefchook voice. So I'm not sold. Of course, I've been spending years immersing myself in conspiracy theories, so perhaps that's where I've gone astray.
Yes, Bill, I love how you can even apply a conspiracy theory to Alex's voice.
where better? Really, than on the insufferably catchy midweek drive, because Alex is nothing if not a radio ninja. I have so many notes for today's show. Heck, I even have notes about the midweek drive morning edition from last week that I listened to as soon as I got home from my flight. I might need to pull a Richard Fitzwilliams and just do a 30-minute uninterrupted monologue.
This is the crucial thing, because last week, of course, there was excitement with Natalie Tuck and Natasha about, you know, what was the response going to be from Richard Fitzwilliams? Was it going to be positive? Because, as I said, it was like nitro and glycerin. Put the two together, could be quite safe, could be an explosive cocktail that could blow your head off. Even exactly. Joy Knight said, did you really want to put them both together? I said, yes, Joy, because I felt that it was going to work. We found out last week that Richard thumbs up, although Richard, strangely enough, not on the show tomorrow, because Richard has already been booked to do a special on the Royal Barge. It's an early morning celebration, so he apologises profusely.
I mentioned much of my time with Richard on this week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour, and I also mentioned that Lily listened to Richard as well on the show, and when she found out that I was getting to spend a couple of wonderful hours with Richard, she was so jealous.
Lily, please. It's a bromance. Okay, that's all. It's a bromance.
She exclaimed that she would spend good money to get to spend time with Richard Fitzwilliams.
Yeah, that's what she. I'm sorry, Lily. We are not pimping out our contributors. Yeah, there's a line that has to be drawn, and much has, you know. I mean, Hannah, for instance. Lord knows the number of offers we had for her at the New York and Nottinghamshire Showground on Saturday. I said no. I'm sorry. You know, just not on. It's not on at all.
I'm exclusively for the midweek drive.
There you go.
But you know, last week on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Richard was talking about the English Patient, and he went on a rant about many actors, and I think it was Tasha. I wish Tasha was there. I think it was Tasha who you all took to task for not having seen the English Patient, and I wanted to take her side in this because I've always felt that you need to be both English and really patient to sit through the English patient.
That's very true. Although it is one of Ray Fiennes's finest moments, may I say, before, of course, his other Fiennes brother went off to all sorts of things. Joseph Fiennes, of course, easily confused with Fiennes.
How come Ralph is pronounced Rafe, but Joseph is not pronounced Joseph?
How come Fiennes is pronounced Fiennes and not Fiennes? You know, it's a difficult, it's an unknown scenario, really. But never mind.
We bring up excellent points.
I mean, it's like Siobhan Redmond. Surely it should be Siobhan, you know, not Siobhan at all.
My mum has that problem.
It's just, there we are, it's Siobhan, not Siobhan. Siobhan, it's not S-H-E-V-A-W-N, you know?
Yeah, well, it's an Irish name.
Kieran.
And why when you bring up Quinn Martin Productions, do you always mention Canon and never mention the streets of San Francisco?
Well, but you...
Far more successful.
Yes, but Cannon didn't have the issue with the Carl Malden nose, or indeed Michael Douglas. You know, these are crucial points. And plus, you know, once you've gone over the invaders, that's all you can really think about from that point of view. But never mind. I trust you got the UFO theme, that was which inspired Ilana, unless she was lying to us. It inspired her to whole new areas from that point of view, which would be good to see. Good to see.
I always break out in a little bit of a sweat whenever I hear the UFO theme because of Ed Bishop. Ed Bishop, in addition to being the beloved and as you said, late actor in UFO, is also the name of an editor and a producer that I've collaborated several times. And in looking up Ed Bishop before I first worked with him, I Googled him as one does, as you talked about earlier in the show. You know, you look up the people you're going to work with or you're going to talk to on the internet now, and I got all this information about Ed Bishop dying.
Yes,
and I was so terrified.
Oh, no. I can't work with the dead. I can't work with the undead. I have enough of that with my actors.
I know.
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
You haven't seen The Number One Girl, you know? I mean, bless her. I mean, I know Lily Holloman is The Number One Girl. That's fine. We can go with that. But the movie, The Number One Girl, when...
Lily Holloman wasn't in...
No, she wasn't. She wasn't in that. But when Lisa McAllister does actually return for the whole thing... She does very well to get through it alive, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, she does.
It's a fantastic production, but really, you know, I mean, if I actually heard the words, "You've broken the rules! You've broken the rules! You've broken the rules! Oi! Shut it!"
I think that's a scarily good impression, Alex. I'm coming more around to Phil's way of thinking that you could actually be Jim Broadman.
Oh, please.
Yes!
Yes! Yeah. Anyway, I was duly impressed with the fact that between yourself and Dean on this week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour show, you actually even referred to the fact, and I didn't even show Phil the best bits of the non-stop broadcast-a-thon first one I did back in 1986. He just had the sort of the introduction without saying, "Oh, yeah, for this, etc." I didn't get to the Jason Connery sequence, to the Caroline Pickles. I didn't introduce the band who are actually there and a whole heap of other goodies, but never mind.
Oh, gosh.
So he obviously was sufficiently surprised to actually raise it and make it as a feature as well on the whole thing. But did you enjoy your little routine? Because we did say on the schedule here, as indeed on our blog and website, etc., Phil Leonis, back in LA and reflecting on his recent visit to Europe. That's the official line from that. The media, higher educational paradigm, edutainment and internationalism, LA, the globe, the cultural milieu. Do you feel that now you've actually sort of had your European experience for the year, Phil, that's it, that's great, you know, from Brighton to France to the Lincoln Imp, I now feel fulfilled?
No, as soon as the jet lag wore off, I was ready to get back on a plane and travel some more, and hopefully, if all goes according to how, in a way that would best serve The Truth Is Out There sequel, I will be making at least one more trip to Europe this year to visit different sites. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm disappointed that Professor Slight is no longer in the room, and I can only surmise that you warned him to leave because you knew I was going to ask him how I can become an artist in residence at the University of Florida.
I haven't given up on that, Phil. You know, it's just...
I could make a film there in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I could be helping students with their projects. Yep. I could be teaching seminars. Mm-hmm. I dare I say, I could be doing Chilpack Hollywood Hour out of the Siren FM studio.
It's going to happen. You know, I've already said, you've seen the location now. You see, it wasn't me just simply spouting hot air a few months ago. I think it was September, actually, if memory serves, when I actually said, yeah, Dean, Phil, why not do Chill Pack Hollywood Hour from the Siren Studios? Yeah. And I can tell.
I think it's a good idea.
I could sense over there thinking, typical Limey, and they think they can do it better than we can do in LA. Yeah. Sorry, I've gone all New Yorky on that sort of side of things there. But, you know, it's a genuine offer. I think there's mileage.
Who was that supposed to be? It doesn't sound like me, and we've already established that Dean sounds like Gene Bruce Scott, so I have no idea who. You're an educator. You know as well as I do that nothing expands the horizons of a young person like a year spent abroad. And I consider myself, not only do I consider myself a young person, I know for a fact that I am nowhere near as old as I used to be. So I am ready to have my horizons expanded the way only a year in residence at the University of Lincoln.
These are some of the things hydrogen atoms can become given several billion years of cosmic evolution, as Carl Sagan once said. Very important. I take it then, Phil, you haven't had the chance to actually download any of the goodies that Hannah and Natasha and Nicola and indeed Julie Corden. I'm still waiting for the photographs that Phil took of Julie and myself. No sign of them whatsoever. I don't know. They'll probably end up in some sort of scurrilous Facebook site somewhere.
Data protection.
I was going to email them from my phone last week until my cellular provider called me and let me know they were about to cut me off because the charges I had racked up were more than my Virgin Atlantic bill. But, you know, they will be sent. And you know, I find this issue that was discussed about data protection so interesting from different levels. I mean, we do live in this world where you almost have to make the decision whether you're all in or whether you're all out where internet privacy is concerned. I think the point that might have been missed a little bit about Facebook and protecting your privacy, because what was discussed almost made it seem like, boy, if I'm going to go in and interview for a job, maybe I should not have a Facebook profile at all. And that could not be more the wrong response to take. I have known too many people who have gone into with long resumes, who have gone into interviews, and all the interviewer is interested in seeing is the Facebook page, the Twitter page, these networking sites to see how many people and what kind of people these job applicants are connected with, because that's how they decide who will be right for their team. And if these people didn't have social networking pages, they wouldn't even be considered for the job. So yes, you have to be protective and careful about what you post. You must post, however. You must engage in this social networking world to be taken seriously within the business place.
Extraordinary, you know, but strangely truthful in its own way.
No, I think that's completely accurate, to be honest. I think that while I wouldn't be willing to share my Facebook page with an employer, I'd be perfectly happy for anyone to see my Twitter page.
Of course, exactly, because it's so...
Yeah, there are court cases right now about people going in for job interviews and being expected to give their Facebook passwords in the job interviews. It's really quite extraordinary. And it all, of course, begets this assumption that you must be on Facebook to begin with. I thought that the comment that Susan made about people thinking that when they're speaking on Facebook or interacting on Facebook or in email or you know, chats like these, that they're simply, it's the equivalent of chatting with a friend in the pub. And I actually have a slightly different perspective, which is I think people are used to the fact that you can't speak freely even in a pub, that we are on CCTV, that we are having our phones tapped, that we are being listened to, that we will be reported all the time out in public, and so we actually go into the internet hoping for the kind of privacy that we know we no longer have out in the quote-unquote real world. We're looking for a certain virtual privacy to offset the loss of privacy we all feel so profoundly in the rest of the world.
It's a well-worn science fiction narrative trope, he says, being serious for a moment, that one of the themes that often occurs in such things is if we all suddenly receive the power of telepathy, can actually hear everybody thinking all the time, all of the place, everywhere, we'd just go insane. But anyway, that's a thought from that point of view.
I've seen that Torchwood episode.
Yeah, well, there you go, exactly. Or indeed, as Phil would regularly say.
Check out the online interviews, audio postcards, and more from the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Simples. And don't forget, as you know, we do have on that website the search facility. So, you know, it was pointed out to people, well, I went there and I couldn't find, you know, the piece with Phil Leonis of The Truth Is Out There, Way Out There. I said, well, have you actually looked at Phil Leonis' section? Have you typed in the name Phil Leonis into the search facility? Oh, he said, and went away. Present company obviously accepted as far as that's concerned, but, you know, sometimes...
Isn't that... You know, this is... That's interesting. You brought up something, I think, was it Professor Slight who was speaking about how tone in emails, you know, can't be understood, can't be expressed, and the danger of it. You know, and I would say, I hear this quite often, and I'm at the point now where I would like to take a stand against that belief, because literature survives largely because its tone delights us. We grow old with a particular piece of writing because of its tone, long after the plot or the character or, you know, or the humor or anything might become old hat to us, let's say. It's the tone that continues to delight, comfort, inspire us. So, no, the tone in writing is hand in glove. And what I think it speaks to is how we've become lazy in how we read. Yes, there's a certain laziness in how we write that we can take responsibility for in terms of affecting a more deliberate approach to what we write by taking a step back, by asking, much like we should ask when we speak, is what I'm communicating via writing, is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it true? Does it improve the conversation that's taking place? Asking these questions, and until we can answer yes to all of those, maybe we would be best served to hold off in what we're going to write, even in an email, even in a tweet. But also there's the responsibility of being a good reader. And what you just described, we won't even read instructions anymore. We expect the link to be directly sent to us. So all I have to do is click here. And it's lazy, and it leads to all manner of miscommunication and problems.
Exciting news, Phil. Exciting magical news.
I'm gone for a week, and I'm grumpy all of a sudden.
This is exciting because we've just had Alex tomorrow morning at 9:15 is great. Thanks, Lisa McAllister.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's always nice. I mean, it's a bit like, can you ever have enough Phil Leonis? No, neither can you have enough Lisa McAllister. Very important from that point of view. I'm talking about podium and various other things. Young people, informal, honest, real, representative, warm, engaging, and definitely not patronising or predictable. We'll find out what a podium journalist does, amongst other things, tomorrow, and how you can actually access one of the UK's exciting ways of actually putting young people on the podium. I probably have to be very quiet for the whole of the interview, otherwise I'll come across as patronising and broadbandesque. I am a landlady in London. I used to think I was a sort of dead ringer for a younger version of Luciano Pavarotti. I couldn't agree with it. I couldn't agree with that less on that point of view. Strange perceptions. But anyway, of course, tomorrow morning the other exciting thing is I can quite happily play this.
It's the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Lefchuk and Hannah O'Brien.
And it'll be absolutely true.
Yeah.
You see your own very own.
It's not quite true tonight.
Because it's not... Well, it is.
Well, it is in LA, yes.
In LA. It's not that sort of point of view. Never mind. Phil, have you had... Actually, I'm asking you that question. You can see the way I was just leasing into that question without so much as by your leave. I'm thinking maybe the Beatles and Two of Us would be a nice way to actually just walk out in that sort of sign of things, really. It's, I was thinking either that or various other things. So, Hannah, would you like to throw those last two questions to Phil Leonis? I'm still overwhelmed by the fact that Lisa McAllister looks as though all's well for tomorrow morning.
Mr. Phil Leonis, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I have had an excellent time. I sort of feel like when I get to call in, I'm like Charlie from Charlie's Angels. You know, all.
I'm sorry, Phil. There's even more excitement come through because, you know, we've just had those words from Birmingham, England, to say I'm listening. Yes,
Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy on the midweek drive for Siren FM and more.
I'm listening.
Hey, don't I sound like Charlie from Charlie's Angels? I totally and Alex, you are Bosley.
Yeah, well, you know, but are we talking David Doyle Bosley? Are we talking Bernie Mac Bosley? Are we talking Bill Murray Bosley, or some kind of bizarre genetic amalgamation of all three?
I think yes. A new version of Jim Broadbent.
Jim Broadbent, perfect. Exactly. You put them all together and you get the Jim Broadbent. Absolutely.
There you go. So, I'm sorry I interrupted you with the excitement of that whole routine. Carry on, Hannah, carry on.
And can we look forward to hearing from you again next week, Phil?
Absolutely. Hannah, if you didn't even have a show, Hannah, I would call you every week.
Thank you, Phil.
Even Tiffany doesn't quite reach that level, although she does get various name checks in this week's Chillpack Hollywood, but there is a promise that part two will be continuing. I don't know. Ooh. So who knows what could happen. Maybe we may be put to one side for sort of Brighton pieces and various other bizarres. Who knows? It's a wonderful show. Chillbackhollywood.com is the go-to place. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury. Didn't even mention Cameron Tilbury this week. You know, just skated over Cameron Tilbury.
Great choice, great music at the top. It was an excellent way to start the show.
Don't forget, next week Jessica Freck will be with us on the show. Randy Reinholtz will also be with us. Fiona Hardingham is back with us. Cameron Tilbury will be back with us. Phil Villainous again will be with us as well for that. We may even have Gene Bruce Scott, the Dean Haglund sound-alike, also joining us in all sorts of ways. Who knows? Keith Fottett, we salute you from your ninjutsu days. You'll be with us tomorrow morning. Nicola Clancy, Michelle Monroe as ever, Ilana Rain and Phil Linnison. Thank you, dear listener, for simply being with us and doing cracking stuff in all sorts of ways. Have you got an uplifting line you'd like to leave us with, Phil Linnison? A little quote from various other bits and pieces?
I thought of my whole thing about making sure that what you write is kind, necessary, true, and improves the conversation was pretty uplifting.
Says it all.
I think it does.
Can we say bye-bye then? Have you enjoyed the show, Hannah?
Yes, of course I have, Alex.
It's the first show you've actually done where you've just been the sole person in the studio and you've managed to get rid of all of the rest of the presenters.
I think it's my presence that's put everyone else from turning up.
See what happens when you do a bit of ninjutsu training.
Yeah, I've got the power now.
All sorted, exactly. Power are great with this one. One thinks, no, I don't do Yoda. Hit the Beatles. Can we say bye bye?
Bye.
Bye bye.
I Dig a Pygmy by Charles Hawtrey and the Deaf Aids. Phase one, in which Doris gets her oats.